today. This is what we're doing. Hey, we, like Lloyd said, and of course we know because this has been the build-up, well, one of the build-ups of the past wee while, is we saw the Thailand team off on Friday. And they all got off safely, and it was just exciting to see so many stepping out into something totally new. And as I, you know, from my perspective, as I stood there and waved them off, I stood the mother of a young man waving him off as he embarked on this adventure, this journey that I would not be a part of. Letting go of our children, if you've been in that position, is both liberating and challenging. It's liberating because I know that God totally has him. And I can completely trust in the fact that God's hand is on him. God has a plan for his life. God is his father, and he has entrusted me to care for him while he's on this earth, obviously, and Lloyd. We're his parents, but he is God's. And then, of course, it's challenging, isn't it? Because there are going to be so many firsts that Joshua is going to do without me there. And I've been there for most of those firsts. And so what I'm doing is I keep on thinking, I wonder what my little boy is doing right now. And then I have to pull myself back. And I think, I wonder what my young man is doing right now. Because he's just that, he's a young man, and I need to release him. And part of the reason I did not go was so that I wouldn't be this overbearing mother going, oh no, cramping his style. And he's in wonderful hands, and I can talk about him because he's not here. Because generally they're a no-go zone. But no, I'm not going to ramble on. This is what I did last time when Lloyd went to Thailand. I think the first Sunday when he was not here, my whole message was about you. And God. But anyway, no. I will not ramble the entire time about my children. But I will just say a few things as I get started. So funny, you know, during the Christmas shopping and the lead up to Christmas, of course, it's really hard not to buy for yourself whilst you're shopping with for others. I don't know if anyone else does that. But anyway, I came across a little plaque, and it was a little canvas with three words. And I thought, you know, I really would like to have that on my wall as a declaration to the goodness of God and his faithfulness. And the words on it are living the dream. And I'll explain to you why these three words, you know, strike me as being so important that we remember them and have them on our wall. When I was a little girl, I remember this so vividly. I don't know about everyone else's story, but when I was a little girl, I used to dream a lot of getting married and having children. And I would write the children's names out. I would design, lucky Lloyd, I would design out. I would draw pictures of our house. I used to draw a lot of pictures of orphanages because that's what I thought I would grow up and have an orphanage. Anywho, there is still time for that. It's a long life. And I remember this. I had this image of my head. I was in the house where I grew up in, 3 Woodhall Road, and I was in my bedroom, which Mum wallpapered, and we had white wallpaper with little blue forget-me-nots all over it. And I'd sit in my bedroom. We had one of those hedges around the house. I don't know if you know those hedges where it has the little red flowers and you suck the nectar out of the end of it. You know who's done that? Yep. And our dead-end road where all the kids would come out and play in the neighbourhood until, well, what we thought was late. It probably was 5:30 in the afternoon until we were all called home. And this was my childhood, and I remember it always being summer. Who has that? Do you guys think about your childhood? For me, I always remember it being summer. I don't remember winter. But it was a lovely childhood. Anyway, it was in this room that I remember this memory, and I thought, okay, what kind of family? How many children would I like? And what will that look like? And I decided there and then that I would quite like to have 2 or 3 boys and a girl. And I remember this vividly, this memory, the funniness of, oh, that would be nice. Oh, I could have all boys, but I'll slip a girl in there, because of course it's all up to us. isn't it? But of course, here we are, and we have three sons and a daughter, and I think about that moment, reflecting on it, and I think it was a case of, you know, two things. Probably, you know, a little whimsical thought of a girl in her bedroom all those years ago that's just stuck with me. Or perhaps it was a God dream seed just planted in my heart to be held on to. Certainly wasn't me putting in an order and saying, here you go, God, I'd like you to fill this as an eight-year-old or however old I was. But I just think God sometimes plants these things. Anyway, the story's not actually about that. It's about being reminded that I am living the dream. I don't know if any of you ever feel like this, but sometimes I look at my life and it's like looking in the window of somebody else's life and thinking, is that really my life? Am I really the grown-up in all of this? Because I certainly don't feel like it. And you look in and think, God, help me, because I don't really know what I'm doing. And you've entrusted me with these very precious, beautiful children who I love dearly, but in parenting them I've made so many mistakes. And I look in at my life and I think, God, have you really given me all of this? I make so many mistakes. And all you need to do to verify that is to ask the children. Because kids are really candid and they're really honest. And actually, you just need to ask their teachers. Because their teachers know everything. Until they get to a certain age, I'll turn up at school and Zachary's teacher will tell me everything that we've been doing. And I think, how do you know that? How do you know these things about us? And it's, of course, Zachary fills them in every morning at news time. So they know most of what's happening. But really, when I saw that park, living the dream, I wanted to remind myself that despite the fact that, of course, we have our fantastical ideals that we think our life will look like, and then we grow up and things happen and they don't turn out the way that we expect them to. Maybe they haven't gone so smoothly. Maybe all kinds of things. But what I wanted to remind myself and what I want us to be reminded of this morning, that we are living a God-breathed life. And that in actual fact, if we're walking with Him, if we're following Him, then we are living the dream. Does that make sense? Because so often we look at what we don't have. And so if you walk into my house and you see that plaque, it's not me saying, woohoo, my life is so perfect, because you all know I share enough that you know it's so far from perfect. I've made so many mistakes along the way. But I want to remind myself that I'm living a God-breathed life. And the life that I am living, the life that He has entrusted me with, has been given to Him by me and planned out for me by Him. And that's why I have that plaque on my wall. And then I think it's kind of funny when I think back to that little girl sitting in her bedroom all those years ago, dreaming about life. And then here I am, and I could so easily take for granted what He has given me and how He has blessed us. And I just don't want to do that. Ephesians 1:3-14, the Apostle Paul reminds the church in Ephesus about the goodness of God. And I want to read that out this morning. And I want to read it as if it's the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Waiuku, directly, beaming and live. But this is from the Message version, and this is what it says. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Christ Jesus. What a pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And we're not just barely free either. We are abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we possibly could need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Sounds so good, doesn't it? The glorious life that he has planned for us. And it's still glorious, regardless of our failures, our mistakes, our losses, our successes, and our triumphs. It's a glorious life because it's a God-breathed life. You know, we're on the cusp of stepping into a new year, from one year into the next. We're transitioning into a new season, 2014 into 2015. Who thought that we'd be flying around in our cars by this stage? Going back to those child, we did, didn't we? We thought we'd all be like the Jetsons. If you know who the Jetsons are. But we're not, and that's fine. But it's a time, this time of year, I find that it's a time of renewing, refreshing, and reflection. And looking back, 2014 is and isn't what I thought it was going to be. I remember at the beginning of the year, Lloyd describing it as a year of transition, and I agreed. We imagined that we would, as a church, that we'd be in our own building, or at least we would have purchased some land and we would have put a stake in the ground, and that's where we imagined that we'd be. And that has not happened as yet. We have our timing and God has his. But Lloyd was right. We have been in a year of transition. That is what it has been. We've felt it as a church, as a family, as a body. We've felt the stretch. We've felt God forming our identity. We've felt that we've grown up a bit, at least. God has been doing some amazing things on the inside and on the outside. We've sought the face of God. We've waited. We're learning what it means to wait, aren't we? To be patient. To understand God's timing is not our timing, and that does not mean failure. It doesn't mean that we need to work harder, strive harder. We just need to press into him more and learn how to be in his presence and learn how to love how he loves. That's how he fashions us. That is what he's doing. We've worked, we've toiled, we've stretched some more. We've been outworking Isaiah 54, verse 2. You know, in my immaturity, I've kind of read this scripture as a destination or as an event. It's so funny how you can misread things. Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Of course, that's not an event. That is the outworking of our everyday. That has been happening since, well, I mean, we could take it right back to the beginning of creation and before that, but as a church, from the day we've been planted, from before that point in time, we've been stretching, we've been enlarging. God has been doing that to us. And hopefully, that is what's been happening in our personal lives too. Hopefully, we've been enlarging, and not just because of the cake and the pavlova and the chocolate. This Christmas. Hopefully it has been a year of enlargement of that pregnant expectancy the building up of the joy, enlarging. That's what we do as followers of Jesus. Hopefully it's been a year of stretch personally, of not holding back, of lengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. A year of stepping up and allowing the Spirit of God to lead us and captivate us. You know, and I'm sure upon reflection that all of us would have things that we'd wish that we've done better. I'm sure that all of us have, well, I won't say that. I can only say about me. I don't know if it's right or wrong to say this, but I can't say that I have no regrets. Some people say that. They can stand there and they say, I have absolutely no regrets with my life. I just can't do that because there are things that I've said that I wished I hadn't said. There are things that I've done that I wished I hadn't done. And there are things like judgments that I've made that I wished that I had not made. And, you know, opportunities that I know I would have missed because I've been so consumed with myself and my own agenda. So I can't stand up here and say that I've got no regrets. But I know that if I allow him into those places, then God can do something constructive with my regret rather than me living in the land of regret, which I think for any of us to dwell in that place, it would be dark and unsafe. So we don't want to live in that place. I think it's okay to acknowledge that, yeah, there are some things we wished we hadn't done. Things that I've said that I wish that I could take back, and I can't. Words are so powerful. Once they're out, they're out. And if you're a talker, whew, lots of room for error in that department. But you get what I mean. We're looking back on a year where no doubt there have been triumph and success. There's been the mundane. There's been the getting up every day and getting out of bed and having a shower and hanging out the washing and making the breakfast and all of that stuff. And then there's been, no doubt, grief and loss and disappointment and possibly some regret. That's the kind of year that we look back on. And I guess as well, talking about the disappointment and the loss and the grief, is that's the suffering in Christ. And this is part of our story. It's something that we need to learn not to run from, but somehow it's learning to be the kind of people who embrace suffering, who lean in to suffering rather than allowing suffering to sabotage our lives. I don't think it's a natural reflex for us to embrace suffering. I think our natural reflex is to harden our hearts. It's really interesting if you watch small children, and I know that this is what I did in my life, is that we harden our heart to suffering. And so I remember watching Zach as a small child. Maybe he was one, and I probably shared this before, but, you know, you tell a child off, and whenever we would tell Zach off, he'd kind of come in for a hug as a little child. But then one day, and I just remember this, we were in the hallway. One day, we told him off, and he got angry. And from that day, he learned a new reflex, if you like, or a new default, that if he was going to get told off, he would get angry and harden himself. Does that make sense? Do you see how we do that? And that's how I certainly responded to suffering in my own life, is in hardening my heart, backing off, and getting angry. But God has a better way for us. God has an embracing of suffering and a leaning in. And of course, that takes maturity and time, and it's something we learn and we grow into. But if we know that that is the goal in Christ, to lean into suffering, it really helps us as we grow up in him. Paul says in Romans 8:17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in the glory." And so what we do is we bring all of that to the table today. All of the suffering and the glory. And as we're about to cross this threshold into a new year, we can ask God and we can ask ourselves, okay, what do I want to take with me into 2015? What do I need to leave behind as I cross over the suffering and the glory? The bitterness, the joy, unforgiveness, forgiveness, whatever that looks like, what am I going to cross over with? Because although it's just a day, it is significant crossing into a new year. I think there is such a sense of newness, and we can choose to live in that newness. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and great and rosy and wonderful. But it means that we make a decision about the kind of person I'm going to be in 2015. Here are a few things that I'm going to take and I'm going to attempt to leave behind. Okay, number one, and you may or may not relate to any of these. The first is rigid, absolute thinking. I'm good or I'm bad. We do that. It's like a default. I'm a good mother, I'm a bad mother. I'm a good wife, I'm a bad wife. I've got a good marriage, bad marriage. This rigid, absolute default thinking that even it may not be something that we are aware of, but it deep in our subconscious, we're good or we're bad. And I know that Jesus draws a line in the sand. So I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Oh, that's rigid and absolute. I'm certainly not going to abide by that. I just mean this self-talk that we do that is usually condemning. And it usually takes me to a dark place because I'm never going to measure up to the good, the bad, the rigid thinking. I want to leave that behind and allow God to just speak more into that place of grace. And I'm assuming you realize that I'm talking about finding place to breathe in life, not letting myself off the hook for the bad things I'm doing. Number two is discipline. And this is one of the words and the things that I'm going to take into 2015. And that with there's no pain, no gain. That's been my tagline. And that it doesn't take 5 minutes to form a new habit. It doesn't take 6 weeks to form a new habit. It takes months and months. And it requires getting up and making that decision all over again. And discipline is key to living the life following Jesus well. And despite the fact that discipline is hard work, it is so worth it. Number three, the thing that I want to leave behind is comparison, because comparison sucks the joy out of life and it destroys our soul. And he wants our souls intact because he loves us so much and he has an individual plan just for us. And that can sound like a Sunday school lesson because we all know it and we all hear it, but comparison destroys the plan that he has for you and I because we're so busy looking at what we aren't or who we aren't that we miss who we are and what he's doing in our life. Number four, I want to create space, talking about that space, to hear the Spirit. I want to hear his prompting and his leading. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul writes about wisdom from the Spirit. That is an incredible piece of scripture. And he says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He says that we haven't received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. He says we have the mind of Christ. None of us in this room have the right to sit here and say we're stupid, because we have the mind of Christ. We are spirit people, and therefore the deep things of God are available to us. That's how God works. Praise the Lord. This is what is available to us. How exciting that we can know the deep things of God. Just think about that for a moment. Paul says that we speak the words of the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. I want to delve so much deeper into the things of God. And I know that I'm so good at busying my mind with all kinds of things. But in 2015, I want to unclutter so that I can hear the Spirit of God more clearly. And lastly, for now at least, I want to live in light of the fact, which is why I have this plaque on my wall, that I am living the dream, that God himself has designs on us for glorious living, that he is making us whole and holy by his love. And this wholeness and this holiness comes out of relationship with our Creator, with our Father, with our Savior, our Comforter, our Counselor. This wholeness and holiness is grafted in through our relationships with each other. They are so important. They are sacred. And I don't want to lose sight of the blessing. I don't want to lose sight of the sacredness of these relationships, and I want to be reminded every day that I am living the dream, because so often in my life I've taken for granted of all that God has given me and looked at what I don't have rather than what I do have. Okay, so I think I've talked enough, and what we're going to do now is we're going to take 5 minutes and we're going to hand out communion in a moment, and then we're all going to go and we're going to find a space, and we're even going to walk outside. Which is quite nice to leave the building, and it's a sunny day and it's not raining. But we're going to take 5 minutes just to reflect ourselves. God, what do you want me to take into 2015? What do you want me to leave behind? We're going to consider the cross, consider the sacrifice, the life and the love that he has poured out for you and I. Consider the year that it's been and the year that's coming. Think about things like, and I'm sure we can all come up with our own questions, what could have I done better? What don't I want to be carrying in and around with me next year? What disciplines do I need to develop in my life so that I can shed the old and embrace the new? How can I be present and lean in? I don't know exactly what season you're going through, but if it's a suffering season, it's like, God, how do I lean into this? How do I lean in? Because I can breathe through the pain when I lean in. And any woman who's been in labor knows that. You know, if you can breathe through the pain, if you can lean in, then somehow it just makes things a little bit easier. How can I be the kind of person who embraces kingdom values, who lives in this world but walks and lives according to the unforced rhythms of grace in the kingdom? How can I be that kind of person? And then, of course, what kind of mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter do I want to be? And what does freedom in Christ mean to me? All kinds of questions, but that's what we're going to do now. And then I'm going to put the timer on for 5 minutes, and the worship team are going to come and sing their last song. So when you hear that song being sung, I'll just invite you to come back in, and we can close by worshiping together. So that's our cue to come back together when these guys are out worshiping. But take your communion, take it outside, and just enjoy some time with him in his presence. Press in and be present. Okay, let's hand out communion, and then we can all take it and go. I'm just going to pray while that's being done. Lord, I just thank you for your promises. Lord, I thank you for the dreams that you've planted in our heart. Lord, the prophetic words that you've spoken. And that Lord shared this morning about Lazarus. And I was just reading about him in preparation for today. And when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, he shouted out, you know, come out, Lazarus. And maybe that's what we need to do this morning, is to call out some of those dreams. Come out. Lord God, I thank you that you have created this life for us. It includes the glory and it includes the suffering. And when we bring those two things together in Christ, there is a glorious life in you. So I thank you for this time we have together. I thank you for this time that we're about to go and be with you. We just invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us in this time. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the depths that we can go to in you, with you. Jesus, we commit this time to you. Amen. So just as soon as you've got it, feel free to move around. You can stay where you are, or you can go outside, just whatever works.